punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Current temperature is 82 degrees. Winds are 12 miles an hour out of the south-southeast. Hope you guys had a great July 4th weekend celebrating our independence. Today's guest is Dr. Darrell Peel from the Oklahoma State University. We will be talking beef producers and packers, and amongst other things. If you have any questions for today's guest or myself, you can text in to the KECO Ag Line at 580-225-9697. And if time allows, we will try to answer some of your questions. Let's take a break right now, and when we get back, Dr. Peel will join us. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, I'm Randy Renner on First Oklahoma Ag, improving soybean farmer profitability. Here's Michael Clements.
USB Vice Chair and New York soybean farmer Ralph Watt says they'll review and approve proposals that drive preference for U.S. soybeans.
The Soy Checkoff 78 farmer leaders have been working for months to review, score, and discuss hundreds of proposals across marketing, research, and promotion. We evaluate projects geared toward addressing the farmer's most pressing needs relating to whole soybeans, soybean meal, soybean oil, and sustainability. These projects all share a common goal, delivering a better soybean to maximize profit opportunities for U.S. soybean farmers.
Investments made by the Soy Checkoff pay off for farmers by increasing the value and quality of their soybeans.
We've made investments in research that strengthens soybean production, improves protein meal quality, and develops new industrial use for soybeans. We've been promoting the sustainability of U.S. soy, and then we've invested in infrastructure research, planning, analysis, and design to drive a dredging project on the lower Mississippi River. It's saving farmers 13 cents a bushel on a freight, and it's bringing an additional $461 million in revenue to U.S. soybean farmers.
Future investments include a soy-based concrete durability enhancer for roads and bridges, testing of a drought-tolerant soybean germplasm, and continued soy quality surveys.
What that means is that the University of Minnesota sends out packets to farmers, and then we collect samples, and the samples are sent back to the university. Then the university analyzes those samples for oil and protein, and then those results are sent back to the farmers and also sent to end users that may want a bean that has high oil content or else has high protein content. And the goal is to make informed decisions around product improvement.
Keep up with the latest news from the United Soybean Board at unitedsoybean.org. Michael Clements reporting.
This is First Oklahoma Ag.
Wildfires burn millions of acres across the country each year. And each year, wildland firefighters battle to contain them, but they can't do it alone. For some communities, it's not a question of if wildfires strike, but when. And a single ember can travel more than 1 mile. As it twists and turns and floats through the air, that single ember can find its way to where you live and can ignite and destroy your home or your community. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. You can't control where the ember will land, but you can control what happens when it does. You can take action now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. Prepare, protect, prevail. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
The Department of Agriculture's quarterly grain stocks report released with the June 30th acreage report.
We want to sell a product at Terry's Furniture that's a good value for the money. A good value doesn't have much to do with how much it costs when it's new. It has to do with how long that it lasts. A $400 recliner that lasts 5 years is not as good a value as a $600 chair that lasts 10 years. Because if you divide how many dollars you spent by how many years it lasted, that 10-year chair is going to be a better chair for the money. It's a better value, even though it might cost you a few dollars more at the start.
So for value, you're thinking long term.
Exactly. Value is how long something lasts. That's really what value is. If you buy a little tiny pickup to haul bales of hay and spend $40,000 on it, it's not going to last very long. But spend $70,000 on a truck that'll haul bales of hay, a big 3/4 ton diesel, you're going to get 15, 20 years out of it if you treat it correctly. Same thing with a recliner.
Terry's Furniture Showroom.
We're at 2001 South Main in Elk City, Oklahoma, right behind McDonald's.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. Hey, welcome back. My special guest today is Dr. Daryl Peel of Oklahoma State University. Welcome to Today in Ag, Dr. Peel.
Good afternoon, Jimmy. It's great to be with you.
Oh, thank you for being on today. Will you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been at Oklahoma State University. I'm a professor in the Department of Agricultural Economics. But my position since I came to OSU in 1989 has been primarily as the Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist. So I teach a little, I work with grad students, I get involved in research and other things, but the majority of it is working with the livestock industry to look at markets, anticipate what's coming, and try to help producers be positioned to make better decisions.
Well, great. Well, as you very well know, there is a hot topic going on right now in our ag industry, beef producers and packers. It seems there is some things that are either not being told or explained very well. Are you going to help us out with that today?
Well, I'll try to. I'll tell you, you know, and this is not really a new thing. I mean, producers and packers have been kind of at each other for a long, long time, but it certainly has taken on a new focus right now. A new intensity, I think, and I think there's some reasons for that. Really, I think the biggest reason is just the fact that the cattle industry, as well as many other parts of our economy, have just been through so many shocks and you know, we call them black swan events. These are rare things. Obviously, you can go back to 2019. We had the packing plant fire in Southwest Kansas.
Yep.
Obviously, the pandemic has occupied our attention the last year and a half. And then we had the big freak, you know, ice storm and winter blizzard in February. And then most recently we had market shocks as a result of the JBS cyber attack. So the industry's been constantly bombarded with lots of shocks, and that's created a lot of volatility and market impacts.
Well, I went up to a feedlot here in northern Oklahoma here the other day, and I was asking him about, you know, you hear a bunch of stuff, and I was listening to a deal that they had on YouTube where there was a guy from a beef organization up there testifying in front of the Senate and House committee, or one or the other, I don't remember which one it was, and they were talking about this, and nothing come out of it. It was just a bunch of politics on one side and somebody blaming this guy on this other side. And I know that you just got through explaining that there's always been this deal between beef producers and packers, but right now, you know, you hear on the media, whether, you know, the new deal now is it's fake news, you know, but you hear, well, the farmer and rancher's only making $200 or $300 a head, but this packer over here, he's making $1,200 a head. Is that true or not?
Well, to a certain extent, it is true. I mean, you know, the cattle industry, the cattle and beef industry collectively is an enormously complex industry. We've got all these stages of production just to get cattle to the point where we're ready to process them into beef products. So you've got cow-calf, stocker, feedlot production that happens all over the country, and cattle get moved around. And then once we process that animal into beef, there's many, many markets involved in marketing all those products and all that. And I say all that to say that the connections between all these markets are, you know, they are connected economically, but they're not connected in a way where they all move exactly the same way at the same time. They never have. And it's fairly typical to see one sector make more money for a while, and then the other one will make more money for a while. They almost always come back around. It kind of cycles through things, and so, you know, that's part of what's going on right now.
You're listening to the Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. If you're just now joining us, I have Dr. Daryl Peel with OSU here with me today, and we're talking beef, Packers, and we got all kinds of more items to talk about before the show's over. So on that subject of making this guy's making this money and this guy's not making this money, one thing that I've understood during this whole thing, I don't hear anybody talking about the consumer. Is the beef quality better here? Is it worse here? Your thoughts on that?
You know, beef quality in the U.S. has continued to improve pretty dramatically in the last 15 or 20 years. And you can measure that several different ways, but if, you know, one of the easiest ways is just to look at grading percentage. So 20 years ago, we were getting about 55% choice and maybe 4% prime carcasses in our beef system. Today, we're getting about 75% choice and about 11 to 12% prime. So, you know, we're grading, 85 to 90% of our animals are grading choice or better. And that's reflected in a strong consumer demand. You see, it has built in recent years. And that's a, you know, that's a long-term thing that's very important for this industry.
Dr. Bill, let's take a break right here and let's take up this again in just a minute. And we will be right back after this break. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Good day, folks. I'm Calvin Wright with Beef Industry News. And coming up, experimental vaccine to protect cattle from Yoni's disease. More in a moment.
Cotton isn't a crop. It's a calling. That's why you battle resistant weeds with guts and determination. BASF helps you win with the most effective in-season weed control program on the market. The powerhouse trio of Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook are best-in-class post-herbicides, each with a different mode of action, so weeds don't stand a chance. Protect your calling at cottonweedcontrol.com. Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook herbicides, made for this. Ingenia Herbicide is a U.S. EPA-restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label directions.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the Ford F-Series for everyone. America's best-selling trucks for 44 years straight. Because the trucks of the future are built for America. Ford F-Series. Drive one today. Based on 1977 to 2020 calendar year total sales. Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford F-150, Ranger, and Super Duty. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
Scientists with the Agricultural Research Service recently announced a new experimental vaccine to protect cattle from the bacterium that causes Yoni's disease. That's a chronic intestinal disorder that can cause diarrhea, weight loss, poor health, and sometimes death in cattle. In the United States, Yoni's disease is most prevalent in dairy herds, costing the industry more than $220 million annually. Researchers created a so-called cocktail of four proteins for the bacteria to create the vaccine, and encouraged by test results with mice, the researchers scaled up their efforts to produce the four proteins and combine them into a single vaccine cocktail to be administered to calves. Trials with dairy calves indicate the vaccine did not disappoint, rendering the young animals immune to the disease over the course of a year-long monitoring program.
Don't you love it when an insurance company tells you which doctor you can go to and which medical treatment you can get? Well, several people within the sound of my voice right now got a letter from their insurance company back at the beginning of the year telling them they could no longer use a particular pharmacy. They had to go to a big box store to try to save a couple of bucks here and there. So some of those people switched pharmacies and gave it a try. But within a few months, they decided they'd had enough and they came back. Turns out, trying to save a few bucks wasn't worth the price they had to pay in service. They didn't like being just another customer in line, a nameless sale. They missed being taken care of. They decided to go back to Grandview Pharmacy, where the folks behind the counter know them and care about them. When it comes to the medicine that keeps you feeling good, or could even save your life, it matters who's taking care of you. And taking care of you is just what they do at Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts. 1220 West 3rd in Elk City.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, we're back. Welcome back, Dr. Peel. Are you still there with me?
I'm still here.
Are you listening to my sound bites?
Oh, yeah, you bet.
That was my boss is doing. Don't think I'm that big a redneck. But the thing I found out about why I was at the one of the feedlots the other day is there's kind of a, I don't know if you want to call it a gooseneck or a backlog at the Packers. You know, we're getting, say, an 800-pound steer out here, good quality. We're getting $1.40, $1.45, up to $1.50 a pound for them. And then they're taking them to the feedlots and feeding them for 160 to 200 days. But the problem with the movement right now is the pandemic still playing a little bit of effect on the Packers, because like one of the Packers that I know of up in Nebraska, you know, they're usually running 600 employees a day, 7 days a week, and right now they can't even, you know, man that full force, and they're not even operating on weekends. So that's putting a backlog on beef products, you know, going out into the boxes. Am I right or wrong? Are you hearing the same thing?
No, that's exactly right. And that's one reason why the first half of 2021 has been such a challenge for the cattle industry. It has its roots back many years, Jimmy. We've seen over a long period of time, we had chronic excess capacity at the packing industry in terms of the amount of just plants and physical infrastructure. That slowly went away. We've closed a number of plants over the last 15 or so years. And then we've had chronic labor issues in packing plants for several years, but it's been exaggerated through everything we've been through with the pandemic and so on. So the bottom line is the reason 2021 has been such a challenge is that we really did have a backlog of cattle coming out of 2020 with the disruptions in the market last year, and we simply have not been able to process all of the cattle that needed to be processed at the time they needed to be processed coming out of the feedlots. And so that's created this imbalance or this disconnect that you've referred to. That's it's sort of driven a wedge between what the feedlot or what the fed cattle market is doing and what the box beef market has been doing. And we're working through that. It's about to get fixed, but it's been a real challenge for us up to this point in the year.
So what's your thoughts on this stuff that I've been hearing about? I think a U.S. representative from Iowa or Nebraska or both, or maybe South Dakota, I don't remember. I don't have that article in front of me. I read it last Friday, and we had a lot of fireworks between there, so my brain's not totally functioning today. But what's your thoughts on they've proposed, I think it's 50-14 and 30-14. Is that them bill numbers? Do I have them right?
Well, those are proposals for a mandate, different levels of mandates on how business would get done in the fed cattle market.
Right, and, on that cash basis?
Cash negotiated trade. There's lots of people concerned, and obviously economists have been looking at markets that have gotten a little bit thinner in terms of the volume of cash trade that we see. So those are proposals that are out there that are fairly fundamental in nature, because they would really dictate for the first time in the history of this industry how cattlemen are going to do business with each other, and people in this industry are going to do business with each other. So there is a lot of interest in that, in those proposals right now.
Yeah, because you talk to guys out here that are your normal ranchers and farmers out here that own cattle no different than they are in Nebraska or anywhere else, and they're like, we really don't need the government telling us how we're going to get our money and what price we're going to get. We don't need them involved with that. And then what's your thoughts on that?
Well, two thoughts. One is, I think depending on who you talk to in the industry, there's some people that feel like a legislative solution that is maybe the only recourse. There's other people that are very reluctant to go down that road. I guess as an economist and based on the research we have available, my advice to the industry is to proceed really cautiously with those kind of proposals, because once you start mandating how we're going to do business, it's going to be really difficult to undo that. And I'm not sure that there aren't some long-term implications here that maybe the industry really ought to think through pretty carefully before we go down that road.
I like talking to you already. I mean, we've talked a couple of times, but we're talking serious now, because I like the way you say it. Let's proceed cautiously, and that's a true fact. You said it perfectly. I mean, you can't get any better than that. Do you think the drought that's happening up in the Dakotas, I mean, you draw a straight line from the New Mexico, Texas Panhandle state line, all the way up to the Nebraska state line on the north end where it meets North Dakota or South Dakota. The Dakotas and everything west and the whole west coast are under a drought. Do you think that's going to affect our cattle market this year?
You know, it might. There's a couple things that you know, even cattlemen in Oklahoma or anywhere else in the country that's not directly affected by the drought. Of course, those producers in those drought areas are facing massive decisions and consequences of the drought conditions. But the rest of the industry needs to pay attention for two reasons. One is we're watching things like cow slaughter. So beef cow slaughter is up dramatically in the last few weeks. That's probably confirming that we are having to liquidate some cows out of those drought regions. That could impact the markets, although I have to say that so far this year, we've seen very strong cull cow prices, and so it hasn't appeared to have a market impact that would affect producers not in the drought. However, if we liquidate enough cows this year in areas that do have drought, then that could change the overall numbers of cattle for the whole industry for the next couple of 3 years, and that could change the overall market conditions. So I think producers everywhere, whether you're in the drought or not, really need to pay attention to this and maybe think about whether there's going to be some different opportunities that may be presented if you're not in the drought and you can prepare yourself to take advantage of perhaps some even stronger market conditions from a supply standpoint.
Yeah, exactly, because the articles I've been reading for the last 2 to 4 weeks, they basically have shut down irrigation water in New Mexico and Arizona for sure because of the Chama River and the Rio Grande. They've got to save enough water there because there's a lot of cities get their water there. And I just feel like something's coming. You know, they're going to have to start unloading or find some place. Usually, you know, you can depend on finding some places in northern part of Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska, and the Dakotas to ship some cattle to and put on grass until things, you know, get better where you're at. But there's a big chunk of the United States under a drought right now.
That's exactly right, and that's part of what we're trying to figure out as we go. We're seeing the cow slaughter number go up, so that's certainly one piece of evidence. But like you say, some just move cows around, so don't want to.
Dr. Pill, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay. I lost you there for a second. But one more thought from you on, tell us what you think about the imports and exports right now. You know, last year during the pandemic, you know, when beef prices just got stupid high at the store and people were, hey, we're getting this from Venezuela and blah, 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 blah. You know, a lot of people don't, especially the consumers, don't understand how the market works. And I know that exports and imports are very important to our cattle market because there's a lot of stuff that Americans don't eat anymore that they export, and we import some stuff like fat and stuff for hamburger meat that we don't have enough for. Can you touch on that a little bit?
You bet. That's a very important story.
Dr. Peel, do you have me on? You got me on speaker because you're coming in kind of gargly right now. Okay. Yeah, I'm losing your signal a little bit.
Uh-oh.
There, I hear you plain and clear right there.
Okay.
There you go. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't know what happened. But very quickly, the international trade is very, very important to the beef industry, continues to grow in importance because it really represents our best chance to continue growing this industry on top of the large, mature, more mature industry that we have in the U.S. And so exports, as you say, we export products that we don't have good demand for in the U.S. And that does a couple things because it finds more value for those products than they would have in the U.S. But if we didn't export them, we would go ahead and eat them in the U.S. at some price level. And so, it helps us focus our demand on the stuff we really want to eat in the U.S. when we export it, and we get more value from selling it to somebody that wants it more than we do. So the imports is kind of the same way. we import stuff largely to make ground beef, and we eat a lot of hamburgers in this country, and the, you know, the most economical way to provide that and to help our beef industry compete with you know, chicken and other things at fast food restaurants is to have those dollar menu hamburgers, and that's what drives that industry.
You're correct. Well, Dr. Peel, I want to have you back on the show. I'm sorry I'm running out of time, but you've been great to have on today. I loved you talk the way you talk about everything, and you make an, you know, you explain it where just a normal person out here, no matter whether they're in the ag industry or not, can, you know, understand what's going on. And I hope you'll be back on sometime soon.
I enjoyed it very much, and I'd be happy to come back anytime. You just let me know.
Well, you have a great day.
All righty. Take care.
Thank you. I will be right back after this break with your extended forecast. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Beef Breakeven, your daily look at the cattle industry. Brought to you by Blue and Gold Sausage, serving Oklahoma's fundraising needs for 50 years.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
Good day, folks. Calvin Wright with Beef Breakeven. Feedlots are only a few weeks away from being current on fed cattle supplies, according to Dr. Darrell Peel, livestock market economist, Oklahoma State University.
In the near term, yes. I think we've moved a lot of cattle. The marketings in the last two cattle on feed reports have been very impressive. We really saw the peak in about February, and since then we pulled them down. And we know that the numbers in general have been coming down. We're trying to work through this current pipeline of cattle. We got delayed because of the pandemic last year, and that's what really set up the problems we've had all this year. But we're close.
As the market sort through the numbers, USDA and politicians ramping up efforts to expand packer capacity and strengthen the Packers and Stockyards Act.
There's an awful lot of political motion out there right now to do something, and it really reflects the turmoil that we've been in for really about 2 years and the producer discontent that's out there, but it's being translated into some of these political initiatives. In the short run, I think we're going to fix our immediate problem because cattle numbers are going to drop back below the current capacity here again in a matter of weeks. We may be almost there right now, but it's not quite clear yet. But longer term, the potential for the industry to grow will depend on some long-term investment in infrastructure. And we're kind of at the point for the first time in many, many years when the industry really needs to think about that.
That's Dr. Darrell Peel, Oklahoma State University livestock market economist. In other news, scientists with the Agricultural Research Service recently announced a new experimental vaccine to protect cattle from the bacterium that causes Yoni's disease. That's a chronic intestinal disorder that can cause diarrhea, weight loss, poor health, and sometimes death in cattle.
Another thing that we address a lot of in our office is thyroid and parathyroid disease, as well as head and neck cancer, whether it be skin cancer or it be a type of throat cancer, whether that's related to lifestyle, such as smoking or tobacco use and alcohol use. We've also seen an increased rise in HPV-related tumors, particularly at the back of the tongue and in the tonsils, that will lead to certain types of carcinoma, most commonly squamous cell carcinoma. In folks who don't smoke or have no history of tobacco use, we typically do a very thorough workup, depending depending on the complexity of the treatment that needs to be offered, we can either perform it here, which we've done very successfully, also refer to our university specialists if we need to have more complex care. Hi, I'm Dr. Tyson Fisher, and I'm an ear, nose, and throat physician at Great Plains Regional Medical Center. Find the best medicine right here at home.
For an appointment, call 821-5255.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, welcome back. Here's a look at your extended forecast. Today, 81, looks like maybe 84 for a high. Tonight, be 67. Tomorrow, 87. Wednesday, 89 with a 30% chance of rain. Thursday, 91. Friday, 93. Looks like it's creeping up. I checked in with one of my rye farmers over there around Delhi, a.k.a. Bill Dance, Mr. Silk, Brian Silk over there. And I checked in to see if they were going to try some rye today. And he's still at the lake at Grand. He's still at Grand Lake fishing. So I guess he has no intention of doing any rye today. But he said the humidity is higher in western Oklahoma than it is in eastern Oklahoma, and that's a pretty rare deal. I bet there's some people going to try to get back in the field today. Lots of alfalfa needing to be cut right now in our area, but the ground is really wet. Hay trade was slow last week. Premium alfalfa was up to $200 a ton. Good quality alfalfa is $150 a ton. Small squares are high as usual. They're bringing up to $12 a square bale. There's been some grass hay put up. Good grass hay has been selling for up to $100 a ton. Small squares of grass hay are bringing up to $9 a bale. I think I might go nosing around this afternoon to see if anybody's combining rice. But speaking with Bandy Silk, he said the weights were going to be lighter because of all the rain. The wind had already lodged a bunch of it. And now with this all this rain, it's just laying, most of us laying flat out there. So combining is going to be pretty slow going. Tomorrow, I will have year-to-date numbers on wheat harvest. I'm going to also talk with some area cotton farmers today to see how this rain and cool weather has affected it in different parts of our area. As you guys all know, cotton likes heat. And so there wasn't a sale today at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. So hopefully you listened to my Jimmy tip of the day last Friday and didn't show up there today. But I'll be right back after this break.
Hey folks, Calvin Wright, First Oklahoma Ag, and let's check the midday markets Friday. Live cattle, August down 95, 122.62. October down 52 at 128.72. Feeder cattle, August up 52, 156.85. September up 22, 159.30. Lean hogs, July down 52, 106.77. August down 105, 99.25. July corn down 18, 3/4, 701. September down 5.5, 596 and a quarter. Kansas City wheat, July down 18 at 613 and a half. September down 18 and a quarter, 620. Chicago wheat, July down 13, 645 and a half. September down 13 and a quarter, 652 and a quarter. October cotton up 65 points, 87.14. December up 107, 86.97. July soybeans up 5 3/4, 1452 and a half. August up 5, 1434, 3/4. Crude oil, August down 4 pennies, 75.19. September down 1 cent, 74.32. We'll check cattle auction numbers in a moment.
Cotton isn't a crop, it's a calling. That's why you battle resistant weeds with guts and determination. BASF helps you win with the most effective in-season weed control program on the market. The powerhouse trio of Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook are best-in-class post-herbicides, each with a different mode of action, so weeds don't stand a chance. Protect your calling at cottonweedcontrol.com. Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook herbicides, made for this. Ingenia herbicide is a U.S. EPA-restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label directions.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the freshest lineup of SUVs in America for everyone. Because the SUVs of the future aren't built for a few. They're built for America. Ford SUVs, drive one today. Based on AutoSource Incorporated data obtained on 10-5-20.
Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford Escape, Edge, Explorer, and Expedition. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
Southern Oklahoma Livestock Auction, ADA, final numbers July 1st. Slaughter cattle this week, 255. Last reported 159, last year 103. Replacement cattle this week, 287. Last reported 224, last year 95. Compared to last week, slaughter cows sold steady to a dollar higher. Slaughter bulls sold mostly steady. Demand good for all classes. Quality good with few attractive. Total of 542 cows and bulls sold, 47% going to Packers. Oklahoma City West El Reno Market, final numbers from June 29th, feeder cattle. This week, 5,790. Last reported, 9,967. Last year, 8,295. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold $3 to $5 lower. Demand moderate.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, June the 29th, we sold 554 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, June the 24th, we sold 3,565 calves and feeders for a total of 4,119 cattle for the week. No sale Tuesday, July the 6th, but we will be back for Thursday, July the 8th. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 70 up to 8150, with our 10 cows bringing 48 to 65.5, bulls brought 87.5 to 97.50. 5 to 8 year old bred cows 900 to 1125, with our 9 and older bred cows bring 1,000. Better 2 to 4 year old pairs 1375 to 1575, with our 5 to 8 year old pairs 1150 to 1300. Small Angus bulls to breed 12 months old bring 1500 to 1700. Otter steer cattle, 350 to 4 weight steers, 170 to 174, 5 to 550, 155 to 166, 6 to 650, 151 to 162, 7 to 750 steers, 140 up to 153.5, 8 to 850, 137 to 147.50, whether 9 to 950 steers, 128 up to 140, 1,050 pound steers, 123.50 to 134.5, and 11 to 1150 steers, 120 to 121. Otter heifers, 350 to 4 weight heifers, 147 to 164, 5 to 550, 130 to 150, 175, 6 to 650, 135 to 147, 7 to 750, 136 to 142, 8 to 850, 125 to 133.75, 9 to 950, 111 to 126, and 1,050 pound heifers, 113.50 to 115.5. No sale Tuesday, July the 6th, but we will be back on Thursday, July the 8th. Hope you have a great 4th of July weekend and be thankful for all the freedoms we have. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yes, sir. Welcome back here, everybody. Hey, don't forget you can download the Paragon app on your phone to listen to my show if you can't get it on 96.5 KECO. Also, in the Penny News now, there's a two-page deal in there that's called The Day in Ag, and that's where you get all your sale barn prices. You can look at Jerry Nine's stories that he puts in there, and there's some advertising for hay in there. So anyway, that's a new addition. I mean, it's ads, but it's called The Day in Ag advertising in there. Well, last Saturday, the Sarah Golf Course hosted the Firecracker Open Golf Tournament. Afterwards, one of the area farmers, Bobby Barton, decided to get a team together and take on our very own Skinny on Sports director, Aaron Kalk's team that I was picked to play on because some of my golfing expertise. Not sure how much Bobby's team lost because of the beatdown, but he was disappointed that the sale barns and banks were closed today, so must have been pretty bad, but better luck next time, buddy. Tomorrow's guest will be Lacey Swope with Channel 9 Weather. It's always a pleasure to hear from her. Well, that's it for today. Have a great day, and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.